you so much. I like that song. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 14. By the way, church, it's okay to say amen every now and then. Some of you are kind of so quiet, you know, you make me think you're Presbyterians or something. I don't know. So, an amen, a good hearty amen. Even as a woman, teach these men how to do it, ladies. There you go. I like that. I like that. I was somewhere and they said women in the South raise the handkerchief and flag the handkerchief, you know, and I think that's a good thing too. Just make sure it's clean when you do it, all right? Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus 14. Let's stand together to read God's Word. I got to keep you awake. I got to work hard at it this afternoon. Exodus chapter 14, verse number 1, read down through verse 5, and then we'll dig right into the text here, and I'll preach for an hour and a half or so, and we'll go home, all right? You guys will leave before an hour and a half, I know. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. Well, that's bad when you're entangled with Israel, or with Egypt, rather. Well, enough of that. That's another message. The wilderness has shut them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, what have we done? Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Thank you, and you may be seated. Have you ever been stuck between a rock and a hard place? Anyone ever been there before? Think about Moses here. I don't know. Maybe it's just the preacher in me, but I feel sorry for Moses. You know, he got stuck doing a job he didn't want to do. He didn't ask for this job. Now he's got a job that he doesn't want to do. Here he is leading a group of complaining people. I mean, everything that he did for them, they griped about it. They didn't like anything. And here they are now, moving forward, trying to accomplish what God wanted him to do through the leadership of Moses. And they hit an obstacle. Big obstacle. I mean, they come to a difficult spot. The Red Sea is a difficult spot to be in. To return would be certain death. What could they do? They couldn't turn around and go back. To go across, how could they cross the Red Sea? I mean, they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. Funny thing, churches find themselves often at Red Sea crossings. They find themselves there. I do not believe, I don't know of a church in America, I don't know of a church worldwide that has not been at a Red Sea crossing. In fact, I think we visit them regularly. That's a part of the course of the ministry. It's the ebb and flow of the Christian life. It's the ebb and flow of every church ministry. We find ourselves at these regular places where it seems like we can't go back and we're not about to go back and we wouldn't dare go back. But to go forward, we have a huge deal in front of us. We have the Red Sea there. How can we get across? How are we going to get across that Red Sea? How are we going to get that parking lot done? How are we going to get the $97,000 we need to get this parking lot accomplished? How are we going to do that? How are we going to get out of that situation? What must we do? And how is it that Israel is going to get through all this? Are they just going to sit there and do nothing and just let the Egyptians take over them? Are we just going to sit here and do nothing? Are we just going to sit here and say it can't be done? Is that what we're supposed to do as a church? I don't believe that's what God wants us to do. I don't believe we're just supposed to sit and do nothing and just simply just give in. Just be like everybody else. Man, we're maintaining. Just trying to just make it. I mean, are we just waiting for the inevitable? That eventually the enemy will get us? Is that what we're supposed to do as a church? I don't believe so at all. I believe what God wants us to do is to realize that no matter how stressful and perilous times might be, we need to keep moving ahead. We need to move ahead. We need to see that God gets us across the Red Sea. Amen, church? Look, I want to encourage you this afternoon. I love this ministry. I love you. I really do. I thank God for every person in this room, every person that comes to this church. I'm so proud of you. In fact, to be honest with you, I've often sat down and thought about just writing a journal of all the families and everything that, just in my mind and heart, that I know about you, all the good things. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to rob you of your privacy, but all the good things. And you probably wouldn't mind that. But I look at you and, you know, and I'm just so excited how God works in your life. You know, I don't even start, but I could just start looking around and see the things that God has done in your life and how He saved some of you and saw where you came from and what God has done for you, and we have a history together. I mean, some of you, I saw you before you got married, some before you got saved, and some before you got right with God, and some before, while you're, you know, your life is falling apart, and some when you were just babies. And just seeing what God is doing is so exciting to me. But now we're together as a church. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think we're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You know, we can't go back. We can't turn the clock backwards. We can't, boy, if we could have only done this, or we could have only done this differently, or we only had this differently, or we could we have done something else, or could we have changed all that? No, the answer to that question is no. And I'm sure Moses could have said, boy, if I would have only stayed in Egypt, man, I wouldn't have this stress in my life. I was eating at the palace. I had the best the world could offer. The bottom line is, it wasn't satisfying. He left the palace to lead the people to this place of pressure. And they were under stress. They were under tremendous stress. Now look, you think you're under stress because you're trying to pay your next mortgage payment. Or maybe because you're, you know, dealing with this thing at work. But think about this. You're in imminent danger of your life. That's where he was. He just knew. Something, if God doesn't deliver, we're all dead. That's where they were. Would you agree with me? This is an impossible situation. I want to give you four truths very quickly. And I could preach a long time on this, and I promise you I won't. Just stay with me, and I think we'll grab this real quick. Number one, I want you to write this one down. We must trust God completely. We must trust God completely. How many agree with me it's not easy to trust God? How many agree with that? Do you realize it is easier to trust man than God? I mean, I can trust man a lot more than I can trust God. It seems that way for me. I mean, I can trust these guys here. Because I know these guys. It's like we have a relationship that I just feel like that, you know, these guys trust me. I mean, they trust me with things, and I trust them with things. And like, you know, I would give them my car and let them take it. Not very far, but I'd let them take it, okay? That's my means of transportation. You know, I would trust them with that. They might trust me with their children for a time. You know, can you watch our children? They would trust me with that. I can trust them. They can trust me. But how about trusting God? Can we trust God? I don't know why it's so hard. It seems so simple, doesn't it? You know, it's simple to trust God when everything is going really well. But how about when you're between a rock and a hard place? How about Moses when your life is ready, maybe you could die? How about Moses when you said, you got a job you didn't ask for, now you're under the most greatest stress in your life. I mean, don't you just want to quit, Moses? And Moses said, yeah, I want to quit, but I'm not. I'm moving forward, and I have to trust God completely. I'll be honest with you, the conditions were not inviting. They weren't comfortable, and certainly they weren't convenient. But trust, listen to me this afternoon, trust is a commitment. I mean, it is a thorough commitment to believe what God says that He's going to do it. And so the Bible said that they had to trust God. And that meant that they were going to commit as a nation to follow God through Moses, their leader. And that's exactly what they did. Now let me ask you a question. You think any of them didn't go across on the Red Sea? Probably. I would imagine there's probably some people that said, well, you know what, I'll just go back and I'll just kiss up to the Egyptians when they come, and I'm sure they'll take me back. And, you know, we were kind of stupid leaving. You know, I mean, it was pretty nice over there. I mean, they did have good food. I'm sick of this manna anyway. And so I'm sure that if we just go back that, you know, things will all be better and it won't be nearly as bad. There are some who did give up. But I'm going to tell you something. Those who gave up lost. They just committed, number one, to trust God completely. Number two, they moved forward by faith. There was no retreat. It took faith at this point. If you're going to move forward across the Red Sea, it took great faith. When they looked around them, it seemed impossible in every direction. And that's where faith kicks in. Faith sees what God cannot see, or what we cannot see, God can see. Faith sees what only God can see. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said these words. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. See, there was no retreat. They had to move forward by faith, trust God completely, move forward by faith, believing that God was going to take him across. Something interesting I found when you read this passage out, they got in water. There's no doubt about it. They're moving forward by faith, and there was no regrets for them to do what God wanted them to do. They didn't regret it. See, when you walk by faith, you never regret. When you walk by sight, you always will have regrets. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. There are some people who never did move forward, who will not move forward by faith. And later in their life, they ask the question, wonder if I would have done that, what God would have done. They've said that to me. God called me to preach and I told God no because I just couldn't see myself doing that. I wonder if I would have surrendered what God would have done. There's a lot of people that know to tithe and could have tithed, and if they would have just tithed and trust God, they could have seen God do some amazing things, but instead they backed away, they didn't, and later down the road they're saying, I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done that. We all have our regrets about our past and what we should have done, but here at this point, when the stress picks up and the difficulties pick up and the hard times come, man, they had to learn to trust God and walk by faith. There's a third truth I want you to notice in verse 4. I think this one might be the one that stands out the most. God's going to be honored. They honor God's word. Verse number 4, the Bible says, notice what he says. It says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I'll be honored upon Pharaoh. Verse 17. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. How many agree with me that, number one, that God's honor is the most important thing? How many agree with that? Amen? Look, we ought to honor God's reputation in this community. When God's people obey God's command, then God's reputation will be honored in this world. I'm convinced of that. Let's just put God to the test, see what God can do. You believe God can build that parking lot? There's no doubt about it. Can God provide that need? No doubt about it. I remember about 12 years ago when we started talking about doing this auditorium 12 years ago. There were people that sat in the services, and I would preach something like this when I said, I know God can help us get this auditorium. We need to get this auditorium. I just knew we had to do something. And you know, I had people say, it'll never happen. It will never happen. Did it happen? Look, I just know that God, I know how big God is. I don't know much. You guys know a lot of things I don't know. You guys probably forgot a lot more than I'll ever know. But one thing I know, what God says, He will do. You can take that one to the bank. See, God's reputation is at stake here. His name, His reputation, His honor is much more important than I think most of us realize. Every community looks to churches for spiritual direction. They want to believe in something bigger than themselves, and what God is doing in the church is a testimony to that. I mean, they're just looking. They want to know. It's really strange to me. When I see our mayor, how's your parking lot coming along? Our mayor asked me that. The morticians asked me in town, because I do funerals, say, hey, you know, how's it going? Doing good. How's that parking lot coming along? I'm like, you notice? Police chiefs, both of them. Hey, I notice you're building a park. How's that coming? Come along. You know, you circulate through town. Even other pastors say, hey, I notice you guys are building a parking lot or something over there. How's it going? Let me ask you a question. You think God's reputation is at stake here at this point? It is. Let me ask you a question. You think that's important? Is it important to God? Isn't that why He's saying that? God's reputation is important in this world. I believe that. I want God's name to be honored. I want His word to be honored in this community. You know, I want them to know that God's bigger than the liquor crowd. God's bigger than the porno crowd. Amen. It's bigger than all that bunch. God's real. God's not playing. And I hope that we understand that this is important. And I believe what God was telling Moses, said, Moses, look, my honor is at stake here. I want my name to be honored. I want my name to be exalted in that place. The purpose of God is to move His people into a place of great blessing. See, something I learned years ago, the greater the test, the greater the blessing. And then there's one more truth I want you to write down and get this one. See God work. Verses 13 through 14, the Bible said God began to do something. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Verse 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was light, and it was cloud, a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. So that one came not near the other all the night. And here's what God did. It's this. Hey, watch this. It's amazing. Okay? Moses, here he was, trying to move the children of Israel, trying to get him across. They're being pursued by the Egyptians. They want to attack. They want to stop them from getting any further. They had to get across the Red Sea. What were they going to do? God moved in and did some miraculous things here. Look at what God did. The Bible said that God came down and encamped with his people. You see this cloud? This cloud was during the dark. It was between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And guess what? There was light for the Israelites, darkness for the Egyptians. That'd be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? Depends on which side you're on is where you're in light or darkness. Another message on that altogether, all right? God protected his people. Let me ask you a question. You think God can protect his people? Yeah. And then God's power is displayed because the Bible said that he parted the sea. And not only that, but he dried the land. I don't know what it must have been like. I kind of maybe in my sanctified imagination, I think it's almost like asphalt. God just dried up the ground. Man, they just walked across on dry ground. You see, God can take care of what he calls us to do. I believe God's called us to build this parking lot. I believe God's going to take care of it. Now, it may not be in my time. It'll be in God's time. I like what Moses said, fear ye not, there's mental challenge. Stand still, there's physical stand, and then see the salvation of the Lord. That's a spiritual trust. Moses said, God's going to do it. Did God do it? He did it. And you know, I wouldn't want to miss what God wants to do at Calvary Baptist Church. Don't miss the banquet. Let's see what God's going to do. Don't miss these coming months. Let's see what God's going to do. You say, but the economy and all, Let's see what God does. Yeah, the economy might be tough. Yeah, we're all feeling the crunch. Yeah, we're all nervous. Yeah, we are. We're human. But when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, trust him through it to see what God does. I can't write a check for $97,000. If I could, I would. But I might be able to write a check for some amount. I'd give my contribution. None of us in here. I wouldn't guilt anyone in here. In fact, if you feel guilty, I don't think you ought to give anything. I'm not trying to guilt anybody into giving. I just want us to do what God tells us to do. When we do what God does, tells us to do, that's when we're going to see the salvation of the Lord move. Oh, listen. God's a wonderful Savior. He's a great God. And he's showing us what he can do. Let's pray.